Blog Talk Radio.
That there is only one true and living God who exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory as the one who made all things and holds all things together. Dear Lord, I come into your presence asking your forgiveness for not doing more than I have done for your glory. I pray that you will strengthen me so that I'll be able to forgive those who have trespassed against me. Lord, I want to give myself to you completely in prayer so that my life can produce the largest fruit for your glory. Lord, as we start the new year, I will take heed to my ways that I will sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord my salvation. O spare me, that I may recover strength. Lord, I will wait patiently on you. Help me, O Lord, that I will preach righteousness to the great congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And his demons are subject to me in Christ, since I am a member of Christ's body. Therefore, I obey the command to submit to God and resist the devil, and I command Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, to leave my presence.
Jesus is mine, oh,
renounce all selfish goals and choose the ultimate goal of love. I choose to obey the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Carry out the desires of the flesh. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We would like to take this opportunity at this time to wish you all a happy new year, and we pray that the Lord will anoint and touch you all in Jesus' name throughout this year. We pray, O Lord, that you will all submit to the Lord and to accept him as your Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. You can also visit our online bookstore, House of Christ Bookstore, at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministries, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is an outreach ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums. From our radio broadcast, House of Christ Ministries present Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World, and by honoring the Great Commission on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. We're on the air every Wednesday and Sundays. To our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, or our websites, our postings of the words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, and by honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. And once again, we would like to encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Our lesson for tonight will be In the Beginning, which is a series that we've been running, The Beginning and the End. And tonight we will be looking at The Beginning, Chapter 5. In this lesson, we will endeavor to understand with revelatory insight Chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. By far, Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, for it sets the stage for the condition of the world as well as mankind today. It also gives reason for the need of a Savior, as well as it gives clarity to many other things. Genesis chapter 3 has to do with the fall of man and the promise of his restoration. Let us examine Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, which says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said this, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In verse 1, we are introduced to the serpent, which is the snake, who was in the Garden of Eden. This serpent was not like the serpents or snake that we see today. This serpent was not slithering in a tree or on the ground. Rather, it had the ability to walk. It is evident that the serpent or snake did not slither or crawl across the ground as they do today, based on Genesis 3, verse 14, in which the serpent was cursed to crawl on its belly. The scripture tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that God created. The Hebrew word for subtle is arum, pronounced Aram, meaning to be subtle, shrewd, good at judging people or situations, showing or possessing intelligence or insight, clever, sly, cleverly, skillful and cunning, lacking honesty or straightforwardness. We will take a short break and come right back. We'll be right back. Demonstrating sound reason and judgment, prudent, having good sense in dealing with practical matters, carefully considers consequences, able to use good judgment, and crafty, using or involving cunning or trickery to deceive people. We see here that the serpent possessed intelligence, was able to judge people and situation, had good sense, and was able to carefully consider consequences. This tells us that the serpent before Satan used him was not an innocent victim of Satan's influence. Rather, we must deduce that with his intelligence and ability to judge people and situations, that he willingly allowed Satan to use him as a vessel to cause man to sin. We know that the serpent was not innocent in the matter of causing Adam to sin, because in Genesis 3, verse 14, God cursed the serpent. God would not have cursed an innocent party, rather, one who knew what they were doing. The serpent was well aware of what he was doing in the temptation of Adam and Eve. In addition, I would like to point out that the serpent had the ability to speak. Thus, he could have verbally rejected the enemy's Satan offer to tempt man to sin. The next thing that the serpent, who was being willingly influenced by Satan, he yielded and allowed Satan to speak through him and said, if I can paraphrase it, is this, didn't God say, you should eat from every tree in the garden? He knew that God did not say that as a singular statement, rather as part of a larger statement. The devil uses one of his tricks against Eve, which is using the word of God to deceive the people of God by either misquoting the word of God, or by saying only a portion of what God said, leaving out other parts that give full meaning and understanding of a statement. The enemy gave only a part of what God said to mislead Eve into doing wrong. The question we must now ask is, why did God place the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the Garden of Eden? It was man's test. God always qualifies his people before he gives them greater level of responsibilities. God created and proposed Adam to have dominion, yet Adam had to qualify by means of passing the three tests that all servants of God must pass: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. God didn't want Adam to run from temptation, but he, God, gave him the grace and ability to overcome temptation. Today, we Christians have temptations all around us, but because of Jesus' death, resurrection, and the Holy Spirit living in us, as new creatures, we have the ability to say no if we want to. Adam had that same ability, for he had unhindered access to the Spirit of God. Let us get back to Eve talking with the serpent. Eve corrects the serpent by declaring God's word in Genesis 3, verse 3b clause, which says, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The devil challenged Eve again, this time calling God a liar, by saying they would not die. The devil challenged the integrity of God. Imagine calling your sinless creator a liar. What hatred he must have for God. He, the serpent, told her, Eve, that God was holding back things from them. He suggested that the tree that God willingly planted was restricted from them because God did not want them to be like him. Just think about it. If this was to make them like God, And he, God, did not want them to be like him. Then he did not have to put it there. This tree offered man an illegal way to try and be like God. This is the same anti-God and anti-Christ deception that the enemy will represent in the last days. The number 666 speaks of Satan's influence on man. Again, this temptation in the garden was anti-God, causing man, who was created on the sixth day, to now try on his own to be like the triune three parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God. When we look at the number six, the number of man, because he was created on the sixth day, three times, it shows us the purpose and plan that Satan has for man of him replacing or being like God. 1:6 is for man trying to be like the Father, the anti-God. 1:6 is for the man trying to be like the Son, Antichrist. And 1:6 is for the man trying to be like the Holy Spirit, the anti-spirit. I want to also point out something else in verse 3. And that is, Eve gives further detail regarding God's command about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was given in Genesis 2, verse 17. In Genesis 2, verse 17, they were told that they would die if they ate of the tree. Yet in this scripture, Eve declares that God also told them that they were not even to touch it. Why? The act of touching it would show the same disobedience in their hearts as eating it would have, causing them to have committed the act already in their hearts, similar to what happens with adultery. Sin happens first in the heart, Matthew 5, verse 28. Satan, through the serpent, then speaks pride to her, telling her that she would be like God if she ate it, in verse 5. This is the devil's ultimate card that he plays on people, as well as the same one that he probably played on one-third of the angels in heaven who rebelled against God and fell. The enemy offers godhood. It is what I have termed as the deification goal. He wanted Eve to think about having what God has, doing what God did. How enticing this thought that the enemy introduced must have been. Yet it was an illegal way to get to what God had already planned for man. God made man to look like him and to be composed like him, with the intent to prepare man to be like him, not to take his place, be above him or challenge him, rather to be submitted, thus giving man the access to God's things and the good kind of life.
Who can cheer a heart like Jesus? By his presence, all divine.
Temptation in which she would have to make a decision. Genesis 3 verses 6 and 7 gives us the details. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." In this scripture, we find Adam and Eve failing the qualifying test. The rejection of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life that causes God's people to move into their destiny. Her flesh lusted for the tree's fruit. She saw that the tree was good for food. Her eyes lusted for the tree's fruit. It was pleasant to the eyes. She submitted to pride's suggestions regarding the results of the tree's fruits. A tree to be desired to make one wise. When they ate this fruit, they failed all three tests at once. Could have been lost. The tree of knowledge of good and evil did not just offer knowledge of good and evil, rather also offered experience, or it opened the door for man to facilitate good and evil. He was not able to facilitate evil until he committed a rebellious act against God, which we call sin. When man decided to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he took upon himself the responsibility for doing what is right or wrong, good or evil. His actions from that point on were looked at as an intentional rather than innocence due to knowledge of what is right and wrong. Before Adam ate from the tree, he probably erred and made mistakes, yet they probably were not considered sin if they were not an act of disobedience to God. And because he did not have knowledge of good and evil. This seems to be an early area where God's grace was instituted, called innocence. God created man to be humble, and in that humility, understand his need to be dependent on God for true wisdom, knowledge, and direction. Humility is a function of walking in the Spirit. Satan introduced pride, telling them if they ate of the tree in disobedience to God, then they would be as gods. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Pride is centered on reliance on the flesh and self. This caused man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus man sought for, and it is still seeking, his own wisdom, knowledge, and direction. God is the center of truth. And when man sought after God's status without God, they sinned and caused a stop to them walking unhindered in the Spirit. Sin always pushes us away from God. I want to point out something, and that is disorder. We have here Eve moving from a complementary role in the role of leader, and thus Adam followed. Disorder most often leads to people falling into sin. It is important that each of us know our roles and function in them, and not in another's role. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of this tree, and humanity fell into chaos. Adam and Eve were now able to understand good and evil, and now the responsibility to be good fell on them. Sin caused them not to be able to truly be good, and so now they had a responsibility they were not able to fulfill, because sin was now in their heart. Adam and Eve were now ashamed, felt fear, as well as other things, because sin separated them from the peacefulness that relationship with God brings. Had Adam and Eve never eaten the fruit, they would have lived forever. If only Adam had not eaten the fruit, then humanity would not have fallen into chaos, because God had given him authority over everything and not Eve. Adam and Eve knew that they were naked after eating the fruit. They sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness from God. Now the question is this: why did their nakedness cause them to be ashamed in the presence of God? It is sin that causes shame and distrust. When they sinned, they distrusted God and became ashamed regarding the nakedness that God had caused them to have. Fig leaves could not hide their nakedness from God. Many people today put up fig leaves to hide from God, yet God sees right through them. He sees us as we are, without the things that the world gives us to hide our nakedness and morality.
God Almighty.
passing responsibility. Responsibility. Many want authority, yet the accountability that responsibility comes with most often refused. In Genesis 3, verses 8 through 13, we see this. It says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam and Eve heard God's voice, or the sound of God walking in the garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve hid themselves among the trees. Many of us do the same thing when we know that God is calling us or trying to talk with us, and we are in sin. We hide ourselves amongst the things in our lives to keep us too busy and hide our ears from the voice of God. How did Adam and Eve, who were natural, flesh hear the voice of God, who is a spirit walking? First, I want you to remember that Adam's spirit man still had access to the spiritual realm. And just like we can hear people walking naturally because of our natural ears, Adam at this time could hear and probably see spiritual things because his spiritual side had not yet been darkened. What does the voice of God sound like? To understand this, we must examine the Hebrew word for voice in this text of Scripture. The Hebrew word for voice is kol, pronounced kol, meaning voice, sound, noise, thunder, thundering. They heard thunder. This thunder was not the still small voice that God probably spoke to them in past times. Rather, the thunder represented judgment. Their actions was not hidden from God, for the sound of his voice meant that he was coming for judgment. In verse 9, God calls Adam. Was it that God did not know where Adam was? No, God knows everything. But he prefers us to come to him. God was also letting Adam know from his statement, Where art thou? That he had fallen from where he was before. God wanted him to recognize that he did not gain anything in his disobedience and that he lost his position in God. Adam, the leader, blames God by stating that Eve, the helpmate or assistant that God had given him, was at fault, as if she forced the fruit down his throat. Adam's claim seems to be that before Eve, I was okay. Had you, God, not given me her, this would not have happened. Eve then feels the weight of the responsibility that Adam did not own up to, and she blames the serpent. Eve says that she was beguiled, deceived. Imagine wanting to be as gods, yet not want to take the lesser responsibilities of man. Consequences. It would seem that for every action, there is a reaction. Those reactions can often be defined as blessings or consequences. In Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19, we see the consequences of Adam's actions. It reads, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." The consequences of these actions on all three, Adam, Eve, and the serpent, for their parts are now given. Please notice that Satan is not judged here. Rather, in verse 15, a prophetic word was given regarding the defeat of Satan by the seed of the man that he caused to sin and fall. Let us examine the consequences. A. The serpent was cursed above all cattle and beasts of the field, and was made to crawl. The serpent or snake was able to walk before, and was probably very beautiful. But he allowed Satan to use him, and thus cursed his species. B. The woman was going to have multiple births, and bring forth children in pain and suffering. See, God punished Adam for listening to his wife rather than God. The ground was cursed for Adam's sake. It became much harder to cultivate because thorns and thistles grew now. Please notice that God did not curse man. Rather, man's disobedience caused him and all that he was over to come under a curse. There's a difference of being cursed and receiving the consequences of a curse. Adam is now told that he would die and be returned to the earth. But Adam did not die that day like God said he would. Did God make a mistake? Absolutely not. God does not look at a day the way we do. Two things happened to Adam when he disobeyed God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One, he died that day spiritually. His relationship with God was gone, and he was destined for hell. Two, his body began to die physically, which would ultimately completely cease to function and die. Now, God sees a day as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years to God is one day. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. And Psalms 90, verse 4 states this. In God's time, or what God considered a day, Adam would have to die before 1,000 years in our time, no more. For physically, that is one day in God's sight. If we look at Genesis 5, verse 5, we see that Adam lived for 930 years, and none of his descendants lived to 1,000 years, which is one day in the sight of God.
Oh,
continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was in the beginning, chapter 5. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. We encourage you to once again join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, wishing you once again a happy new year. God bless you and good night.